Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Jim Hansen, Executive VP of the Center for Security Policy, and we're going to talk today with Sebastian Gorka, who is Vice President and Professor of Strategy and Irregular Warfare at the Institute of World Politics, Chairman of the Threat Knowledge Group, and author of the New York Times bestseller, Defeating Jihad, The Winnable War. You can find his information at thegorkabriefing.com. Seb, I wanted to jump into this because your book outlines what I think is the major flaw in our efforts against our enemies for basically the past several decades, at least. We're not fighting terrorists. We're not fighting terrorism. We're not fighting anybody. We're fighting a global jihad, and you identify that as the problem. I think we could probably steal a march from the Clinton campaign long ago and make it's the jihad stupid. So in your book, you identify this and you compare it to something that I think is particularly apt. You compare it to the totalitarian enemy we had in the Soviet Union. And I think if you could give us just a brief overview of why you think that comparison is particularly apt.
Yeah, this is the starting point for the book, Defeating Jihad. And it's a recognition that our current enemy is linked at the genetic level with the enemies we've faced in the 20th century. Whether it's the Nazis, whether it's the communists of the Cold War, or whether it's the jihadis today, all three of those are existential threats that are based upon an ideology of totalitarianism. For Nazis, it was the totalitarian ideology based around race. For communists, it was a totalitarian ideology based around class. And for our current enemy today, be it Al-Qaeda, be it ISIS, it's what I like to call a new totalitarianism based around a religious vision, and specifically this idea of global jihadism. So that's why the Cold War in particular is such a very useful guide and template for how we should go about defeating groups like ISIS today.
Now, in saying that, I think you've pointed out one of the major differences is they may be an existential threat, but their tactics are not, they're not going to behead us into submission. They're going to use means other than war in most cases as the most dangerous weapons that they have. Now, you mentioned that we need to use all aspects of our power against them, and we need to fight almost an information, a cultural, a diplomatic, an intelligence, and where possible, a more focused special operations style war to defeat what is, in most cases, not an enemy that's going to roll tanks against us and conquer large swaths of territory. They're going to subvert from within.
I don't see it as dichotomous. I don't see it as an either-or. They'll decapitate those that they can decapitate. They'll shoot those that they can shoot, whether it's a Foley, our fellow countrymen taken hostage by ISIS, whether it's those people in that nightclub in Orlando or at that Christmas party in San Bernardino. So the kinetic and the non-kinetic go hand in hand. But yes, it's important to understand that we could lose this war in non-kinetic ways. The conspiratorial, the subversive part of this war is as important as the kinetic.
And it seems this is the area where they're having as much success as they are in the kinetic. I mean, ISIS has gained and lost territory. They've moved into Libya. You know, they inspire jihadists around the world, but they don't really they're not really gaining any territory in any meaningful way. But in the war for public opinion and in the misinformation war, they seem to be doing quite well, and they have a lot of allies. And I think another analogy from the Cold War of fellow travelers and useful idiots comes into play. They've got a lot of folks. George Soros funds efforts to stop talk about them. And many of these groups are obfuscating the actual written, established goals of Islam, as universities like Al-Azhar, the premier university, will tell you.
Yeah, again, I would caution anybody from using school metrics to judge the efficacy of our current totalitarian enemy. It's not really how much land they hold or how many countries they've invaded. Just look at the fact that the NCTC, the National Counterterrorism Center, recently released a map in which they have recognized that there are now fully operational ISIS affiliates in 17 nations outside of Iraq and Syria. Just 2 years ago, that number was 7. So it's not like World War I or World War II. It's not about how far did the front line move yesterday. It's how popular the brand of jihad is. And you're absolutely right. The popularity of that brand is fundamentally an information operations strategy. It's about psychological warfare. It's about the kinds of things that we really haven't been doing for the last 15 years in America.
We're talking with Sebastian Gorka, author of the book Defeating Jihad, The Winnable War. So let's talk about winning it. I would say there are a number of things we have to do, and we discussed them briefly. But if you were going to start with one thing, would you start by defeating ISIS in the Islamic State? Would you cut down the black flag, or would you focus more? And I guess these aren't, you know, again, they're not dichotomous. They don't have to be separate. But would you focus more on defeating the brand and starting a counterattack against the popularity of a barbaric totalitarian system?
Well, my book, Defeating Jihad, is a very simple three-part plan for how to defeat what I like to call the global jihadi movement. And the first part is the most important of all, and that's the removal of all politics, especially political correctness, from the threat assessment. The idea today that you can have the White House, in an unclassified memo, ban the mention of the word jihad from all counterterrorism training in federal government is unconscionable. The idea that the Attorney General, a cabinet member, wishes to censor the transcript of the Orlando mass murderer to the 911 dispatcher to move any reference to Islam or the Islamic State, that's how you lose a war. That's analogous to saying during World War II, don't use the word Nazi because you could offend a German. So step number one is talk truthfully about the threat, who they are, who they want, and get political correctness out of the intelligence cycle.
Okay, now that seems to fit in with the concept of willful blindness. Now, and this didn't generate, unfortunately, with the Obama administration. President Bush got some pretty bad advice early on after 9/11, telling him that if we talk about Islam and Islamic supremacism and the jihad it calls for as the motivating factor for our enemy, that we would alienate the moderate Muslims we need to go ahead and win this war in the long run. And there's an element of truth in that. There's also an element of fantasy that if you pretend that the enemy is not motivated by this, somehow he'll stop being motivated by it. So do we actually risk more by speaking truthfully and calling out the actual causes here? Or is this, you know, again, something we should avoid?
Yeah, it's very sad that this actually started under the Bush administration. It's fallacious. It's absolutely absurd. And the fact is, when you do this kind of willful blindness, when you distort reality for the sake of your political desires, you're actually undermining the most important people in this fight. The Muslims of the region who are paying the highest price, the moderates of Jordan, of Egypt, of the Emirates, they know this is a religious war. President Sisi of Egypt has said this is a religious war and there has to be a religious revolution to defeat the jihadis. So, yeah, wishful thinking never made for good strategy. And when you see this self-censorship in America, you're actually weakening the most important people in this war.
Dr. Sebastian Gorka, author of Defeating Jihad, The Winnable War. Thank you so much. I think you have pointed out some of the potentially fatal flaws in our strategy. And let us hope that we can elect or convince the next president to take this to heart and actually bring the war to our enemies in an honest and, for them, painful way. Up next, we'll be talking with Kevin Freeman. This is Jim Hansen, and you're listening to Secure Freedom Radio.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.